stand together if we are able this evening, if you are able, and we will settle in here. I don't anticipate being long tonight. I don't think you have to be real long. Sometimes I go longer, but someone said to be effective, you don't have to be eternal, okay? So don't hold me to that if I go a little longer, but don't anticipate being long. But I want us to see something tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll read the first 8 verses of the chapter together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verses 1 through 8. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, that time is now. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And let's pray this evening. Father, the few minutes that we have this evening, I pray that you would still our hearts. Pray that you would help us, Father, to, as we look into your word, to get what you have for us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to find the truth, that maybe there's a something in our life, a direction that we would have that you would want to us to adjust. Encourage and strengthen us tonight through your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Life in the age we live is very, very, very busy. There's always seems to always be something going on, and we rush from this place to that place, and seems like everybody is rushing here. It just seems like the older I get, the worse the traffic gets. Have you noticed that? It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Either that, or I'm getting less and less patient, and I think it's a combination of both. But life is very, very busy. Things come at us at warp speed. We have our life to live, and all that's involved with that. And thank God school is starting for us, and I encourage you to help the kids. You know, summer's a little bit of a different time. You'll have a little more free time, but as we get to school time, back to schedule, get the kids on a schedule, and it just kind of seems to help the whole family. We all have, most of us who are adults, we have jobs to do, and that's a responsibility we have. We're married. We have a family. That's something we have to take care of. We have whatever other responsibilities we have to fulfill if we're in the church and ministries and so forth. And so life is a constant juggling act. We have all of this we have to take care of. But we all have a choice as to how we take care of the things that come our way, how we live the way that we how we live the life that we have. The direction, the path, how it's happening, what is happening, is all basically determined by ourselves, whether we're going to let the Lord do it or whatever, but we're making choices each and every day. We can either follow our own thoughts. We can look at things and we can see them strictly from what we think, what is best, and how it work out, what I want to do, that type of thing. Sometimes we just tend to just get on the path that society's going on, and whatever we hear in the news and whatever we're hearing out there, we just kind of fall lockstep in line with that, whether God is for that or not, and that's not a way to go. Or really, the best path for us to follow is God's path, whatever that is for each and every one of us. God has a path for us. And so we choose the direction of our life, and it's very important because all of our choices in life have consequences. On this earth, we see we will live with the results of our consequences. It could be that others, if we are a parent or so forth, our choices can affect our children. Our choices can affect our spouses negatively. But there's more than that. We all have to answer to a God in heaven about the choices that we make. All of us will. And so we need to be very careful. And as we make the choices we make, particularly as I'm talking, going to talk tonight about choosing the path we're going to take in life, as we think that through, we must always look through heaven's eyes. We must have the eternal perspective. Or you could put it even more succinctly, we ought to think with a biblical perspective. What does God really want me to do? All of us have to do that because ultimately we're accountable to God for everything that we do. And just to be honest with you, we don't want to get to the end of our life and look back with regret. By the way, many people do. They look back at their life, they've made bad choices, maybe they've made some selfish choices, and as they get to the end of their life, they look back and say, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I would change the whole course. Now, all of us are going to make mistakes here and there, but I'm just talking about the whole path. They look back and like, I wish I would have made better choices. I would hate to get to the end of my life there. I can think of anything sadder than to look back and say, you know, I can't think of anything of any significance I've accomplished. Whether encouraging somebody else, whether just doing my best for God, that's a sad state. Someone has said it would be tragic to climb the ladder of success and get to the top and realize the ladder's leaning against the wrong building. That's not where we want to be. And that's not where Paul was. You ever hear people talk about a bucket list? How many of you heard bucket list? A bucket list is basically a list of things people want to do before they die. You know, before I kick the bucket, here are some things I want to accomplish in my life. Really, if we're not careful, many of us have a humanistic type of bucket list mentality about life. We have that bucket list mentality. It tells us that life is maybe made up of a series of events. Many years ago, I read about a guy, and his goal was to visit every single baseball park in America, every professional baseball park. Check that off his bucket list. If you go to different ballparks, I'm not against you going to different ballparks. I've been to many. I've been to the old ones in Chicago. That's great, but that's not my life. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish. I just happen to be there. Or it can make life about a list of actions to perform. Before I die, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. Some activity to be involved with. Maybe about something that sounds exciting, and I want to experience this before I die. And so mentally, we're chalking it all up. Be very careful, because that kind of life can make life about yourself. Now, if you get to experience some things, there's nothing wrong with that. Over the years, I've got to travel, and really from Michigan to Florida all the way to this side, I've pretty much been in every state. And I kind of like seeing different places, but that's not my goal in life. It happened. But people make things, you know, you're not going to see me one day, and my wife and I, you know, we're done, and we're going to buy ourselves an RV and travel around the country. Let someone else do that, all right? But we have that kind of mentality. I want to accomplish this. But yet, I wonder, spiritually speaking, what our list would look like. What we want to do before we die. What do we want to accomplish? I wonder what God would think of our bucket list. And I'm not against doing some things. That's not what I'm talking about. See, in our text, Paul is giving advice to a spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. It was Paul's spiritual son. And so Paul is trying to teach him some things he's accountable for, some things he needs to do if he's going to fulfill the ministry that God gave him. And after the first few verses there in chapter 4, Paul turns and gets a little introspective, maybe. He gets a little personal about his life. He speaks about his own journey that he has taken. Really, if we look at the verses here, Paul's kind of tell us a little bit about his bucket list. Now, it's pretty small that he mentions here. But it is what God wanted, and he checked every single one of them off. Paul was one of those guys, from the time he got saved until the time he died, he just went for it. There was no hesitation in Paul. There was no paralysis of analysis. There was no thinking for his personal safety. He got saved and said, Lord, what do you, he told on his salvation experience, he said, what will you have me to do? And he went after it. And he went after it. And he went through a lot. But Paul was a great man. And so now he tells us in verses 6 through 8, he was approaching the end of his journey. And he's getting a little personal, and he's telling us what he accomplished on his journey. And so in the few minutes I have, I want us to look at that this evening. I want you to see a couple undeniable facts about Paul's journey, really his bucket list, and what we can learn from that. First of all, I want you to see Paul's journey was a personal journey. Verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." In these verses, he starts using the words I and mine. He's talking about what he had to do. He was told Timothy some of the principles Timothy need to apply to be successful in God's eyes and fulfill God's will. But as he does, he says, now let me tell you a little bit about how it worked out in my life. It was a personal journey for Paul. By the way, Paul started a little bit late. And it almost seems like even though he started late, he really went after it, and he made up for lost time. But let me say this. As you're living on this life, it's a journey each and every one of us are taking. And it's a personal journey. What about this personal journey do we need to understand? Well, we need to understand that we're accountable for it. If you look back to verse 1 of Timothy, he basically says that I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, there'll come a time for others that you're dealing with. They're going to stand before God, but also you're going to stand before God. And that's the verses we see throughout the Bible. All of us are accountable for our journey and the life that we take. We, as I mentioned this morning, we are bought with a price. We belong to him, not to ourselves. We have no right just to do whatever it is we want to do. We need to understand that our journey, whatever we do on this life, and you may choose to do this and you may choose to do that, one day we will all stand before God for the journey that we take. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone might receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And we'll look at some other verses later where we stand before him. We're going to be rewarded or not, but everybody is going to stand before God. We are accountable to God. And by the way, let me say this. Too many people get off the path and they allow unbiblical reasons to allow them to get off the path that God wants them to take. And we might find excuses that make us feel like it's okay for us to go do our own thing. But let me tell you something. It's not about what you think, and it's not about what I think. It's about when we stand before God, will your excuse really fly? I've heard all of it. Well, you know, I used to be a Christian, and I used to do this, but I went to this church, and this church did this. Well, then my question is this. Find another church. And we've not had a lot of it, but it happens to every church. We've had people leave this church over the many years, and they'll quit going to church. You talk, say, something happened to that church, or they're blaming our church, and that's why I'm not serving God. And my question always is, then why didn't you just find another church? Listen, if there's something happened to this church and I couldn't be here anymore, I'm going to be in church next Sunday. I will find a church, because it's not about church. It's about my path with God. And I'm not going to blame the church for anything. Listen, let's go. Let's do what God wants to do. Let's quit finding excuses. We blame a person. Well, you know, this person did this to me, or this happened to me here, or that happened to me here. And so that Christianity stuff, I'm going to ditch that thing. Somebody was mean to me. Well, can I tell you something? That happens to everybody. Okay? And don't judge Christ by that person. That's just life. Sometimes there's things in a family that could set us back. You know, I'm from a dysfunctional family. Listen, you know, we all are. Okay? You know, we do the best we can, but come on. You want a perfect family, get to heaven. You had a bad break in life. Maybe something happened. And things didn't go your way. It could be an illness, you name it. And we use that as an excuse to step away. Listen, all of our excuses, none of them are going to stand when we stand before our God. The sad thing about it is when we allow something or somebody to get us off of our journey, you know who suffers the consequences of that decision? Not them. You leave and say, I'm never serving God anymore because I went to this church or that church and they did this. You know, that church isn't going to live with the consequences in your life. You're the one that's going to live with the consequences. Well, this person did this to me, and because of that, I'm not going to do this anymore. They're fine. You're the one that's going to suffer. I'm the one that's going to suffer if I do that. And by the way, Jesus will never let you down. So let's make sure that we understand we're accountable to God for everything we do. 1 Corinthians 3, I referenced it earlier. I'll read it to you. Verses 13 to 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest when we stand before God. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. What he's saying here is about everything we do about God. For God, we need to do it for the right reasons, because one day we'll stand before him for what we did for him. It's one of the reasons we're doing the little encouragement next week for everybody getting to ministry. Why? All of us need to do something for the Lord. Not only are we accountable in our journey, our personal journey, but we have to accept it. Accept it. God has laid out a path for each and every one of us. Your path may be different from somebody else's. But I know this, each and every single one of us need to be accepting of that path that God gives to us. You know, Paul's path was not an easy path, but you know, Paul never questioned it. Paul always stayed focused and stayed right on that path. He followed what God had for him. I wish the average Christian was like that today. To be honest, the average Christian today needs to be pushed, prodded, held on to, carried forward to get them to do what God wants them to do. I wish we just had enough Christianity in us to say, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, I'm going to live for him, nobody's going to push me off of that. If everybody in the church backslides next week and no one comes to church, I'll be here. If everybody in this world says that Christianity's a joke and everybody backs off of it, I'm still going to be serving God. And I understand sometimes we all need some encouragement. I'm not saying that. And I understand every now and then we all need a little bit of a little prod or whatever. But listen, if we only serve God when we're being pushed or prodded, I don't think that's of God. Who was prodding Paul when he was in jail? Who was pushing Paul when they were beating him and leaving him outside the city for dead? Paul understood that he had something to do. He accepted his journey. Now, to be personal here for all of us, God has something very specific for each and every one of us. It's different for everybody. And the point is, we need to find it and we need to follow it. We fight it sometimes because we ultimately want to do what we want to do. We ultimately let our own desires get in. I recently was listening to a biography of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. And he had started a great work, and before he got into evangelism, he did huge crusades in England and other places, and he was just preaching a meeting one night, and there was a man that got up and sang, and he was a layman, and he sang, and he was good. After the meeting, D.L. Moody walked up to him and said, "You need to quit your job, come back with me, and you need to be a part of my team." This guy's like, "Who are you? You know, what's this all about?" And he goes, "What do you do for a living?" He said, I work for the government. I have a good job." He lived in Pennsylvania. He tried to tell me, "So you need to quit that and come with me." Well, he got the guy to at least pray about it. He sat there and he prayed about it. The man's name was Ira Sankey. If you know anything about history, Ira Sankey was right there with D.L. Moody. Ira Sankey was a big part of what D.L. Moody did, and D.L. Moody started schools and did many other things, and some of those things maybe he would not have been able to accomplish if Ira Sankey had not, after 6-7 months of praying about it, deciding this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to leave the easy path, and he wants me to follow down this path. But some people decide, I don't want to do that. And listen, you need to find what God wants you to do, and whatever he wants you to do, you need to accept it. Don't fight God. I do know this. The best thing for us to do is what God wants us to do. You say, well, I just don't understand what God is doing. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 55. It says, verse 8 and 9, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God is so past our understanding. It takes faith to be able to say, I'm going to trust him and follow what he wants for my life. But I know this, he always knows what's best. We may not understand it now, but as we get down the path, we'll understand it later. God knows what's best. And so Paul says it was a personal journey. He also said it was a passionate journey. It was not necessarily easy. And if you know the life of Paul, you saw that it was not easy for him. There's some effort that must be put in. The problem is, the average person, we like the easy route, right? We like the route of the course of least resistance. We want everything to be smooth. Before we commit to something for God, we want to be confident that every step upon the way has already been, it's going to be fine. There's not going to be any hard parts. That's not how God works. He kind of works sometime like he did with Abraham. He said, Abraham, why don't you get up and go? I got a place for you. Where? I'll tell you when you get there. Just go. Faith. It's not always easy. But Paul was passionate about his journey. You look at a person, you know, we talked earlier about the bucket list. What is their bucket? It's their passion. It's what they want to be involved with. You know what Paul wanted to be involved with? God's will. Paul's passion was, God, what do you want for me? Whatever you want for me, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm passionate about. People lose their passion all the time. You know, and by the way, don't ever say this to somebody. If someone said this to you, they're wrong. Sometimes a new Christian, man, they are on fire for God, and they're just, yeah, and all that. And someone says, son, you'll calm down a little bit. I hope they don't calm down. I hope they speed up. Okay, that's not how it should be. Well, I'm used to it now, and I know I used to do that stuff. I used to be on the bus route. I used to work in the nursery. I used to do all that stuff, but you'll get over that someday. I hope you never do. God wants us to continue to be passionate about what he wants to accomplish. It's amazing how people who can't make it, you know, wouldn't come to a Saturday morning men's prayer or ladies' prayer, wouldn't come to Saturday visitation. You know, they won't come to soul winning. They won't come to extra services. But, man, you say, hey, let's go mountain biking Saturday morning. They're up at 5. They're up at 5. If you want to go mountain biking on Saturday morning, get up at 5, hey, I'm all for it. Let me know, and when I get up later on, I'll pray for you. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we'll go sometimes, and Pastor was crazy. We would leave on Sunday night to go fishing at Bishop. We'll get there at 2 in the morning. Sometimes I get up at 7. Where's Pastor? Oh, he left for fishing at 5:30. I'm like, I'll pray for him. You know, he's tired, but he's out there. But boy, if it has to do with God, I can't get up that early. Sunday school at 9:30, you've got to be kidding me. But we all do go to work at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. But what are we passionate about? Because what we're passionate about will be a part of. People are passionate, but only usually for what they really want to do, what they're passionate about. By the way, I don't understand it. The Pokemon deal, that's kind of, I don't get that. I don't want to chase, you know, if you do it, I'm not getting on you, but you know. Hey, there's a Pokemon in the orchestra. Oh, we can't save that one. They're playing electric guitar. Okay. There was a couple of them out here Saturday morning. I think we have Pokemons in the church. Do we still have them in the church? We ought to put them inside of here, and they only become visible at 10:30 Sunday morning. Okay. Yeah, we got all kinds of Pokemons right here at 10:30 Sunday morning. Come on in. You know, listen, and that's our whole life. And some people, they're crazy. Oh, did you send me the thing? A guy was, he caught a bunch of, you catch them, right? And the guy was selling all the Pokemons he caught for $800. $800. For what? Pictures on your phone? I'll let you take my picture and I'll make myself look like a monster for $200. You say you already look like a monster. Who asked you? But we're passionate about all this other stuff, but if we ask someone to get on board with God, it's like, we got to keep that down on the low and low. Paul said it was very, very passionate. Look how he described it. He said it's a fight. Number seven, I have fought a good fight. What does that mean? There were struggles upon the way for Paul. We want an easy Christianity where there's no struggles, but can I just tell you something? There are struggles along the way. You're always going to have to fight the flesh. The flesh is always going to try to push you a different direction. And sometimes you just got to stand up and I know I don't feel like doing this, but this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. We have a spiritual enemy, the devil, and he's always fighting us. And we need to be willing to step up and say, I don't care what's going on. I'm going to do right. We have a society that's trying to push us a different direction. Listen, we ought to just say, you know what? This is a big deal. This is for real. I need to take it seriously. You know, someone said something about my Christianity at work, and that made me feel bad. La-di-da. By the way, don't get upset. Thank God that you're doing something right. Thank God they noticed you're a Christian. And by the way, they're not reacting to you. I get emails. I got another gate on this week, you know. They see our kids out. Blah, 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 blah. They don't say that about other people's kids, just church kids. Now, if they were out running their bikes, like when I was a kid, I wasn't out doing good things. I was out doing things I shouldn't be doing. No one called and said anything then. It's a spiritual battle. They just don't like Christians. Don't let that get on you. But let's stay straight. Let's be willing to put the effort in and be passionate about being right. It's a fight. It's also a course. He said, I have finished my course. It's very specific to Paul. God had very specific things, and it ended up for Paul being a prisoner in Rome and eventually put to death for his faith. But God had that course, and Paul had to fight to stay on that course. As you're following the course of your life, if you say, you know what, God, I am in. I am going to do what you want me to do. Let me just tell you something. There are going to be a lot of opportunities to take right turns and left turns everywhere. Stay on the course. Don't be detoured. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress? How many of you read that? It's an allegory. I do encourage you to read it. And he's on his path, and there's all these things that come his way. Listen, we got to make sure we stay the course. Let's stay exactly where God wants us to be. Yes, there'll be, you know, sometimes some of you, God might call you to be a missionary, plant a church, be in full-time Christian service. Listen, there's going to be some tough times sometimes. And you'll be tempted to say, let me just throw it all away. No, stay on the course. The only thing you need to ask is this what God really wants for me? Once you've settled that question, don't ever undo that decision. You stay where God wants you to be. It's a fight. It's a course. You say, well, how do I know my course? Well, there's two courses for every Christian. The first course is the one we follow just basically on what God says. If God says we're supposed to do it, that's the path we're supposed to take. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to pray about it. If God says do it, we do it. That's pretty simple. The other one is very specifically what God will lead you to do as you live him and you go to your future. But we need to follow the course. And then Paul said there's a faith. He said, I have kept the faith. What is the faith? Jude describes the faith in his book. It only has one chapter. He says in verse 3, Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are certain men crept in unaware, and he mentions what they're like in the preceding verses. What is the faith? That's our beliefs. That's what the Bible says. You see, what we do now is we look at the Bible, and so what we're doing is we go out into the world, we're like, well, that's a little bit tough to do, so why don't we change what we believe? Listen, we can't change what God says. If God says it, we have no other option than to do what it says. That's just all there is to it. Well, that's if it's not popular anymore, it doesn't matter if it's popular. Is it scriptural? Well, there's other Christians I've heard, and they just do this and that, but is it in the Bible? If it's in the faith, if it's that set of strict beliefs that God holds us to, we have no right to change it. We've got to believe those as we stay on our path. And then lastly, it's a prosperous journey. Prosperous journey. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read a few verses here, make a couple comments, and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. If you're in 1 Timothy, it's back a few books. And we'll look at verse 24. Paul kind of gives a little bit more of a description of his life here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Paul says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you might obtain." He said, man, there's a race. The people run a race and they run to get the prize. And so he says, why don't you run that you may get it? Analogy of life. Verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." In other words, he that's going for it, there are certain things that they won't become involved with. There are certain things they won't do because that would hinder them from getting to where God wants them to do or winning their competition, so they don't do that. But one, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly," because I'm running, but I know where I'm going. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." And he's using some of the what we've just talked about. He goes, and I'm in a fight, but I'm not just, you know, shadow boxing. This is a real deal. "But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul's telling you about it. He says, listen, whether it's a race or whether it's a fight or whatever, people are in the sports world, and they even had it back then, they're doing it to obtain, to win. We're doing it for a spiritual reason. By the way, the thing with this is, on our course, God's given each one of us the personal course, so if we finish it, we can all be successful. I'm not competing against Brother Ross because God gave him a course, and that's his course. God gave me mine. I'm responsible for what I'm supposed to do. I want you to see this prosperous journey. He said it was a worthy conflict. He didn't just say we're fighting. He said it's a good fight. It's worthy of what we're doing. By the way, if we lose the spiritual battle, it's not just like someone who loses a game and they go home and, oh, well, we lost. We'll shake it off and we'll come back next time. If we lose a spiritual battle, we become prisoners. We become captive. We got to fight the good fight. It's worthy. It's worth. Look, we don't need spiritual pacifists. And I'm not saying go out there and beat people for Jesus. I'm just saying we need to know what we believe. We need to stand firm for what we believe. And we need to finish and do what God wants us to do. And let's not let anybody push us off. By the way, Christians are too wimpy. You know, we look at what's going on in society. Well, what do you think? Well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. Listen, we need to let people know what the truth is. We don't hide the truth. The truth is all we have. The truth is what God gave us. The truth is what we're accountable for. Let's not back off because someone else doesn't believe it. We have a worthy conflict. Paul had a worthy completion. He said, I have finished my course. He didn't just run it. He got to the end. He said, I got there. May that be our goal. See, the Olympics just got over, right? I never understand the Olympics because there's gold, silver, and bronze. And if you're second or third, you can celebrate. I'm number two. I got silver. I'm number three. No, forget that stuff. You're going to go for the gold. I don't care what color they give you. If it's not gold, you didn't win. Oh, you get to stand up there, but guess what? Unless the guy who won is from your country, you ain't hearing your anthem. But you know what's good about the spiritual? We all can win. When we finish our course and get to the line, it's like we've completed what God gave us to do. Finish your course. There's so many people that they start out and they don't finish well. Someone said Christianity is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. You youngs, oh, I'm so excited about Jesus. Come back and see me in 15, 20 years and tell me you're still excited about Jesus. Be that dedicated to say, I'm going to finish my course. And then he says, it took commitment. I have kept the faith. What is he saying? He says, I'm going to do this. I'm committed to it. Paul accomplished much because he simply did what God wanted him to do. He followed his course. He fulfilled his journey. He didn't let anything push him off to the side. Let me say this and I'm done. In 1853, two men came to Chicago at different times. Both of them came to Chicago with one goal in mind, to make it rich. The first man accomplished his goal. He opened up a store, and I believe he opened up a chain of stores. They're not as popular today, although I know the one in downtown Chicago is very popular, Marshall Fields. How many ever heard of Marshall Fields? Many, many years ago, he had many, many stores around the country, but he has a flagship store. He made his money. The other man came in, and he started out working for somebody, started making money because he was a salesman. He was really good at it. He went to another company, started making money, kind of branched out, was traveling around, and he was making big-time dollars. But what he did on the weekends, he got involved with reaching children in the inner city, in the bad parts of Chicago, even in the 1800s. He had went to a Sunday school, and he asked the guy there if he could bring some children in. He says, well, we don't have any rooms. He goes, there's just one place here. And if you want, we're not going to give you any children to teach. Go get your own. So I think the first Sunday he brought like 18 children. He went out. They didn't have cars. He went out wagons, started picking them up. During the week, he was working, making a lot of money, traveling around. He always made sure that he left to get home on the weekends. He outgrew that place, so he went and got his own building just for children. He didn't feel that he was worthy enough to reach adults, so he would just reach the children. If adults came, he would send them to other churches. He wasn't very, very learned, and he didn't feel that he was intelligent enough to do that. Pretty soon, he had over 1,000 children coming on Sunday. Started hiring out people to help him. Eventually, the adults kept coming. They said, we don't want to go to other churches. We want you to do something. So he kind of started a church. And as he was making all this money, he had to make a decision. Am I going to keep doing this? Or am I going to keep my job and make all this money? Or am I going to cut it off and do what God wants me to do? And he wrestled with that. And he decided, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. He gave up his job. At that time, making over $5,000, I think it was a year or something. That's pretty good money back in those days. To $250 a year. But he followed God's will. That man is D.L. Moody. We remember D.L. Moody. When he got to heaven, I'm sure he finished his course, but he had a decision to make. Am I going to follow my path, or I'm going to follow this path that God obviously has laid out for me? What about us tonight? Let's all stand together this evening.